to just come to God in prayer, Lord. We just pray that you will be the centre of our lives, that you will be the fire in our hearts, the wind in our sails. You will be the one that helps us and strengthens us and enables us to do all that you want us to do. And we ask, Lord, now that as we listen to your word, that you will really speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Pam is going to come now and read the passages from Scripture for today.
And I would like to read them one after the other, so I should give you the passages and the numbers in the Bible. So the first reading is from Jeremiah 17, chapter 17, verses 5 to 8, and that can be found on page 776 in the Church Bible. So that's 776. Our second reading will be from Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. And again, that can be found on page 1183. So if you keep those somehow open, if you'd like to follow, then please do that. Okay. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like the tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Pam. And as Jesus is the centre of our lives, we now come to him to bring our prayers for ourselves and for the world and for those around us. And Pam is going to come and do those for us.
Good morning, everyone. Before I pray, I think it would be lovely, and we have three little ones with us today. So if our leaders would like to take them out, we will pray for them while they go and have their time together. Thank you, Fleur and Sarah. We're glad to have them with us, as our usual children that are here are on holiday. So it's great to have some little ones with us. Thank you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer together. Our loving Heavenly Father, as the little ones leave us, we pray that you will bless them and those that will be leading them and teaching them. Father, we join together this morning to praise your glorious name. You deserve our praise and our adoration, for you, the one true Almighty God. We thank you for the world that you have created, the flowers, the trees, the mountains and the seas, the animals, birds, fish and insects, all so wonderfully working together to your glory. But we are sorry for the way that man has spoiled your world. And yet you did not, you still care for us, for each one of us, as you do the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. And so, Lord, we take this opportunity to bring our petitions and requests to you this morning. So much on our minds are those who have lost the loved ones in the dreadful disaster in Genoa, where the bridge collapsed. Lord, hold them in your arms. Help them to get the support that they need. Be with those who have the harrowing duty of going through the rubble, and those who minister to the bereaved. Our hearts are with them, Lord, at this time. We thank you too, Lord, that the episode outside the Houses of Parliament earlier in the week was not as awful as it could have been. Our hearts go out to those who were injured and pray for their speedy recovery. And our thanks to the police force who managed it so well and were available so promptly. We think too of the university students who were killed by the gunmen in Kabul and for the continuing conflict in Afghanistan. Lord, we feel so helpless as we hear these news and other news that comes to us in so many ways in different media. And all we can do is to bring them to you and to lay them in your loving hands. Nearer to home, Lord, we thank you for the work of Churches Together in Potter's Bar, the way the churches have been coming together, particularly with the holiday club that was such a wonderful event. Lord, we ask you will continue to bind these churches together, to show them work that they can do in our town. We praise you for the work of your Holy Spirit in Potter's Bar and in our area, and particularly in our church here. We bring to you those who need your love and your support and your care in our fellowship. We particularly think of Pat's family as we meet for her funeral. We think of dear Ray and thank you for the wonderful service he has given to our church over the years. But we particularly ask for your love and your care for dear Elizabeth, because she finds it so difficult to understand that he has gone. Be with her and hold her in your arms, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will place your Holy Spirit into each one of us, that he may guide us as we face a new chapter in the future of our church here at Prosper Baptist Church. We ask your blessings upon each one of us. Fill us with your Spirit, your power and understanding that may work for you in this place. And we bring these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
The two passages that I've chosen for today are ones that have come to be quite special to me. I can't remember how I discovered them, how I came across them, but what I've now done is I managed to find on good old Google, other search engines are available, I found some lovely pictures with words on them, and I've been able to turn it into a little bookmark, and it's one I keep with me, because it's so important for us to remember to keep our trust in God, whatever happens. I don't often read autobiographies or biographies of young people, or comparatively young, because I think, how can they possibly have done enough for an autobiography when they're only in their 20s or 30s? But somehow they managed to do it. But one, obviously not quite so young now, but he was younger when he wrote it, was Alec Jones, who is one of my favourite singers. And he tells of when he did a theatre course at the Bristol Old Vic. And they arrived one day, and the next day they started having their lessons and their tutorials and things. And he says, on that first day, he said, we were given an exercise in trust. And this teacher told each of them, one at a time, to climb onto the mantelpiece above the fireplace, and with the rest of the group, were going to stand in a line beneath the fireplace with their hands linked, their hands together. And the person on the mantelpiece then had to stand turning, facing the wall, and then fall backwards, trusting that the people around him were going to catch them. Well, and he said they all did it. He said it was all about building trust in each other. Well, I'm not sure whether it was brave or foolhardy to trust people you'd only met the day before, and you didn't know quite whether they would. I presumably that they, it was instilled in them that was what they were going to do, and they did all do it. Jeremiah said, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. So does that mean that we shouldn't trust other people? Well, no, because that would be a really sad state of affairs, wouldn't it, if we felt we weren't able to trust anybody else. But what Jeremiah goes on to say is, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is not about not trusting people, but it's about trusting God first and not allowing other people to turn us away from God. Because in fact, this is one of the things that should make us stand out as Christians, is not only our love for each other, but how we can trust each other. Trust each other for all the care and support that we need in our spiritual lives. And Paul explains this further. He begins with reminding us of how things were when we received Jesus as Lord. When we became Christians, when we put our faith in Jesus, cast your minds back to that moment. Can you remember it? Was it a real standout moment? Maybe it's a long time ago now and you can't remember it so well. Maybe it was quite recently. I certainly remember how it was for me. We're thinking about trees growing and plants and things like that today. And the seeds of faith were sown in me from a very, very young age. I was really fortunate. My parents were Christians. I was brought up in the Baptist church. I spent many years in the Baptist church just outside Rickmansworth, where we had such good teaching and preaching, really did root us in the Bible and in Jesus. I was really fortunate. And also my father he worked for Youth for Christ for many years. And so we had a lot of people from Youth for Christ come into our church and things like that. I realise now how very, very fortunate we were to have that and to have that link. And because of them, because of my parents, because of the church that I was in, the seeds of faith were sown and watered. And there were roots there, they were just beginning. But because my life was then was based on other people's faith, that the roots weren't really that deep. They began to deepen, though, when I was 13, when I was on a crusader holiday in the summer holidays. And it was in that holiday that I really realised what it meant to be a Christian, and I gave my life to Jesus. And I asked Jesus to take charge and put my faith in him. And when we become Christians, it can often seem, it can be a real time of joy. I don't know if you remember it. At that time, and at times when I've had special moments, special blessings from God, you feel like you're on the top of a mountain, don't you? Life is wonderful. People are wonderful. You know, they don't bother you anymore. You want to love them and you'll do anything for them. And you're sort of about 6 inches off the ground, aren't you, floating along. And then all of a sudden, reality hits in and you drop. You can hit the ground quite hard. And it could be an awful shock when you discover that the reality of being a Christian is not that you can spend your life on that mountaintop. The reality of being a Christian is that you have to come down to the valley where everybody else is, and you have to live with everybody else. And in a society that can be extremely difficult to live in. Jesus never said it would be easy to follow him. He said there would be blessings, but he said there'd be persecution. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me to ridicule. Follow me to opposition. Follow me to persecution. Maybe follow me to death, as so many Christians have around the world. And when we disciple new Christians, it's so important that they understand this, that we don't lead them into thinking that everything's going to be absolutely wonderful from now on. But it's very important to remember that when we find life hard after becoming a Christian, it's not a sign of weakness or failure. It's actually a sign that God knows that we are ready to start to grow in our faith. This is the time when our roots need to reach down deeper into Christ, drawing up the help and the strength that we need to get through the dark times. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. But we are still human and we still have the emotions and the feelings that tirelessly struggle to pull us away from those things that will help us to be rooted in Jesus. And when we start to feel like that, it's easy to drift away. It's easy to think this is too difficult. And it's easy to stop reading your Bible, to stop praying, to stop going to church. And then you stop getting the support and the help that you need to keep going. And if we give in to those human feelings, then it's easy to become bitter and discouraged and to just think, well, it's not worth it. I'll just give up. I won't bother. And of course, Satan will use those human feelings and emotions to pull us away from God. And once we start listening to his lies, it gets harder to resist them unless our roots are deep enough. If our roots are not planted firmly in Jesus, enabling him to hold us firm and straight through spiritual droughts and storms, we will eventually be uprooted. Don't know whether you're sure you do remember that dreadful storm in 1987 and the devastation. So many trees across this area uprooted. They couldn't stand the strength of the wind. Without strong roots in Jesus, we'll find it much harder to keep our faith in today's society, in a culture that's drifting further and further away from God. Recent polls show that over 50% of people in this country have no religious belief at all. That's so sad. Our society has just turned away from God, is rejecting biblical teaching on so many issues. I came across a verse in Proverbs that says, do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors. these boundary stones in the Old Testament were pillars that were at the corner of fields. They marked the boundaries of people's lands. They knew how far they could go. They knew where they were safe, where they could go. Our society was once based on Christian values and teachings, which gave boundaries, showed us what we could do, what was acceptable, not just to others, but in the eyes of God. And these are now being torn down and discarded at such an alarming rate. And we can see the results in the state our society is in. Rising crime rates, huge increases in mental health problems, social upheaval and dysfunction. People are so lonely and so sad, so alone and so broken. And because our society now thinks anything goes, do whatever makes you happy, people don't have roots anymore. They don't have the stability or security that the roots of church and Christianity gave them and once gave to us. They drift along from one thing to another, tasting the latest fad, the latest fashion, wanting to fit in with what's popular. But none of it is satisfying. None of it will last. And then what? We sadly see so often what happens to people who just feel there is nothing left for them. And even within the church, we're not safe from this drifting. Our roots should be deep in the person of Jesus, but they should also be deep in God's word, in the Bible. And sadly, there are many people in the church who are so concerned about being relevant to today's society and being accepted that they're turning away from biblical teaching. And Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And in his letter to Timothy, he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. These people, these false teachers, are in direct opposition to the word of God, and they're doing their best to uproot Christians from sound doctrine and a firm foundation in Jesus. God is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Being rooted in Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, we will be enabled to stand firm in our faith, holding on to the truth and the teachings that we find in the Bible. Even if it means going against the flow, being different, being the odd one out, even if it means facing opposition, ridicule and persecution. Did you know that the countries where the churches grow in the most are the churches that have the greatest persecution, because those Christians have deep roots. We don't suffer persecution as many Christians do in other parts of the world, but there is an increasing opposition to Christian teaching and values. It's a bit like the thin end of the wedge. You know, it's going to get wider and wider and bigger and bigger. We need to be deeply rooted. We may have to be even deeper rooted in the not so distant future. But Jeremiah reminds us, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. God's faithful people can withstand the troubles of life if they put down deep roots in God, in his word and in his promises. And they become a source of life for them. And when we have that source of life, we then need to give it to others. We need to pass it on to others, to reach out to people outside the church and help them to become rooted in Jesus too. Deep, strong roots enable trees to bear fruit. We bear fruit by proclaiming the gospel and living it out in our lives. Jesus said we're to be lights in this dark world. That means being different and not conforming to the values and the lifestyle of the society around us. Are we rooted deeply enough in Jesus? Are we strengthened in the faith that we've been taught through God's word? Are we living our lives in Jesus, drawing life-giving water from the one who said, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." My prayer is that your roots will grow deeper, that our roots, because mine need to just as much, and that we will know what it is to be powered by the strength of the Holy Spirit as we continue in our lives in service of the living God. Amen.